When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
Hello, everyone. This is Jason Gore, otherwise known as The Dudio, and welcome to Best Show, Best Calls. In this show, from time to time, we'll take some of our favorite calls that have happened right here on The Best Show and on the Half Hour of Power. We're mixing the two, so you can kind of get a variety of the best calls, some of our favorite calls that have happened since the relaunch of The Best Show with Tom Sharpling. And if there are any calls missing in this episode, or if you'd like to suggest calls for future episodes, tweet at us. Let us know which calls are your favorite. Best Show for Life is the Twitter handle. And let's go ahead and get right into it. The inaugural edition of Best Show, Best Calls, right now.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Chris calling from Vancouver, Canada.
Chris?
How are you?
From Vancouver, BC?
Yeah, that's right.
Right? It's your guy. Your guy's up there.
What is?
Your guy, Nardwar.
Oh, Nardwar, yeah, the human serviette.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm a big Nardwar fan.
Yeah, you didn't catch up on my impression, though.
sorry about that. I'm very excited you're back on the air, Tom. My week is complete again.
Good.
My question for you was, we all know there's only 150 podcast slots. Obviously, yours is going to be taking one of those slots. I was wondering which podcast you think will be on the outs now.
Which one?
Yeah, you think more than one?
Oh, I'm gunning for all. My goal is that this will be there'll be 10 podcasts standing.
Which ones do you think will be standing?
Mark Maron has a podcast. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah,
I've
heard of
be
it.
Standing. The Julie Klausner one will still be standing. How was your week?
Yeah.
Jake Fugelnest used to have one, but he took himself out of the game. He'll be back.
He knew you were coming, so
he ran. He ran. But all the other ones, everyone's fair game. Everyone's fair game. I've been doing this since Clinton was president, man. Been doing this show. Clinton was president when I started The Best Show. I'm back now. I'm back. Everybody's been playing with my ball. My football. That's my football everybody's been playing with. For 14 years, all people getting rich. Getting rich. They're getting rich on my football. I'm here to take my ball back.
Are you going to get rich now?
No. I'm just here to take it back. I'll blow the whole thing up. I'm just here to end it. I heard this thing. Speaking of a Mark Maron podcast, he had a. Do you know who Pauly Shore is?
Yeah. He's the son of Mitzi Shore, right?
Yeah, that's well. You know way too much about it already. you're supposed to say, "Yo, the guy from Son-in-Law."
The weasel guy.
That was all you had to say about it. You have to start going into the Pauly Shore, the graduate level Pauly Shore minutia. But Pauly
I'm
Shore.
I'm in the army now.
This guy's got a podcast now. This guy.
No, really?
Yeah. Huh, nah. He's got a Yeah, and he explains on Mark's show. He's like, yeah, I talked to my manager and my agent. They just like thought of doing a podcast a good idea. Yeah, okay. So that's what's overrunning this field now, is guys talking to their manager and their agent about whether they should do a podcast or not.
Yeah.
They're not doing it for this guy's not doing it for the love. Paulie Shore, he's doing it because he's hoping to just get back and hope people care about him. He's trying to get back on TV again. Get back on MTV. But you think that's who's the guys like that have taken a pure thing and it's like a clogged toilet now. It's clogged with the Paulie Shores of the world.
Have you ever listened to his podcast?
No. I'm not going to listen to Paulie Shores' podcast.
Does that have a cool name?
I'd rather listen to my car not be able to start than listen to Paulie Shores' podcast. I'd rather be in my driveway listening to my car go, and deal with all of the ramifications of that than have to hear his podcast. He's a bum. He's a bum. And the guys like that are clogging up the field now. I'm here.
Biodome was pretty good.
No, it wasn't.
I know it wasn't.
Yeah, enough with your Paulie Shore inside base.
Yeah, I know an awful lot about Paulie Shore, I'm realizing here.
Yeah, you do. Inside Wheeze Ball.
All right, well, thanks for taking my call, Tom. I don't want to.
Okay, good. Well, don't. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Who's this?
This is Luke from Lexington. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. What's up, Luke?
Nothing. Paulie Shore was actually just down here in Kentucky doing a show at one of our comedy clubs.
Okay. What, was he doing a Chick-fil-A?
It's in the back. No, they're not open on Sundays, and he tweeted about his show last night, so it must have been at a Burger King.
No, that's where they would put him, is in a Chick-fil-A. Doesn't matter. They could have the doors open or closed. The same amount of people are going to turn up to watch this guy. Paulie Shore.
He's doing
a podcast now. Clogged toilet. It's a clogged toilet, man. Clogged by guys like Paulie Shore. Podcast. That's a, used to be people did it because they loved it. Now it's Paulie Shore and the cereal. I haven't heard cereal yet. Cereal. What is it, like a... I'm going to kill you, or whatever. Like, what goes on cereal? I have not heard it. Is it just like...
I have not heard it either. Everyone,
yeah, Shane, I'm going to kill you, Shane. What is it? Is it like... I don't know what it is. It's like... Is it like Haunted House or something?
Everyone that talks to me about it says it's like True Detective, but a podcast, which that sounds super engaging to me.
So it's like... Wait, a podcast of True Detective? I don't know about... I don't know how intriguing that sounds.
Yeah, it sounds a little...
The audio, listen to Matthew McConaughey, be like listening to Mike, cracking the beer open. You've heard that already. You've heard True Detective as a podcast. It's when Mike is in the studio. Hear a beer get cracked open. It talks a lot about, it talks about life. That's what it is. Mike's like a Bayonne version of Rust Cole. What else is going on? Nothing?
Nothing, man.
Okay, goodbye, then. So, cereal. Now, sudden that, you hear like, oh, did you hear about podcasts now? This cereal invented podcasts. What? This dude, you got this dude like Jesse Thorpe who does this show, Bullseye. This guy's been doing it since 2003, I think. He's doing podcasts. Now all of a sudden you got a podcaster invented cereal. I really don't even know what cereal is. Is it like a haunted house or something? I swear I don't know what it's like. Who's in the haunted house? Should I listen to it? Maybe I should just listen to it. I'm in the haunted house. Am I going to get you? Find out next week on Serial. Serial. Paulie Shore. I'd listen to it if they were chasing Paulie Shore on it. if Cyril was somebody trying to run Pauly Shore over with a go-kart, then I'd listen to Cyril. Other than that, TBNT. That's thanks, but no thanks. Best show, you're on the air. Oh, no, you're not. Jeepers creepers. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah.
Good to talk to you for the first time. I'm kind of a latecomer with your show, and it's good to hear you back on the air. Hey, I noticed you were tweeting during the World Series.
Was I?
Yeah. Were you? You must have been watching. Obviously, you were kind of confused, dazed a little bit about the double play.
Who won the World Series this year?
Well, the Giants won.
The Giants. That's right. Okay.
So did you watch? I mean,
I don't remember.
What do you mean, like, you don't remember?
It's like 6 months ago.
Yeah. Well, you seemed to be interested in the game, and I thought, you know, I might be able to enlighten you if you needed to be.
Sure. Well, tell, what was I getting wrong in my tweets about the World Series?
There was something about, you thought there was a five five-out play or something like that. And
well, there is a five-out play, isn't there?
Well, no.
There's not a five-out play that carries two outs over to the next inning?
No.
You're sure?
Pretty sure, man.
I thought there was. I guess I got that wrong. Because if you're in an inning with zero outs and you do the five-out play, the next inning you go up and you already have two outs against you.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but that's not how it works.
Well, what is there, just a four-out play?
No, it just goes up to three outs. There's either a triple play, double play, and, you know, and just one out.
But what carries over to the next inning, then?
Nothing, man. Just the score.
The score does.
The score and, you know.
What's the most runs you can score at any time? With any swing of the bat?
Well, that would be four.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can score four runs, but you can't score four outs.
Correct.
Isn't there like a spot, though? Like a super spot or something where if you hit the target, like a home run, like the buzzer goes off or something? Isn't there like a thing like that? I've seen that.
They've been talking about doing something like that in the All-Star game.
Uh-huh.
You know, to get people really interested in sticking targets out in the fields, but not in everyday baseball, no.
But isn't there a thing where, like, the guy slides into the mug of beer? What is that, then?
I don't know. Is that part of the beer pong, right?
Beer pong?
I don't know.
Well, I guess neither of us know anything about baseball. So wait, seriously. Well, look, I'm looking right now. A guy in the Friends of Tom chat is saying that there is a six-run play.
You can score six runs, but you can't make any more than three outs is all that's necessary to...
Well, no, but the guy's saying if the bases are loaded and the game is tied beyond the 15th inning, there's a six... If you hit a grand slam... That's six runs.
Correct. I'm sorry. He's right. That's right. That's true.
Okay. Well, good. Then so you have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I have a pretty good idea. I've been a fan for quite a few years.
Okay. Well, then why did you tell me there was only four runs could be scored the most?
I spoke too soon.
Well, know your role, my friend. Know your role. And get off my phone. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Well, who's this?
Hey, I'm a singer. My name is Robert Kirby. I'm an older guy, but I go by the name of Avalanche Bob 33. I have created a whole new music around snowboarding. I have updated the yodel to the year 21st century, and it's completely different from anything out there today. And I played Kid Chris on WBEN Radio in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
He's played my music on the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Jamaica, Queens.
Okay. And what's your name again?
My name is Robert Curry, but I go by the name of Avalanche, Bob 33, and I'm getting a new band together now. We're going to call it Avalanche and the Avalanche Bob and the Snowboard Moguls, and we hope to get in a club in New York. I've already talked to a guy, and it's pretty exciting, and I just thought I'd give you a call and see, you know, if you could help me in some way, you know?
Avalanche Bob 33.
Right.
And your music
and
is what?
Too.
Your music
AvalancheBob33.com.
AvalancheBob33.com. That's the website.
Yeah, man. Yeah. The first music I got in there is not the best because I don't have a lot of money, but the music I hope to get in the future is really going to be sensational because I'm not liking it. I'm something called Yodel and Punk. I updated the Yodel.
And how would you describe your like, who does it sound like?
It's a whole, I'm not nobody. I don't sound like Elvis says. I don't sound like nobody.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like anybody else in the biz.
Anybody anywhere, no. You want to hear a little bit of the Yodel and Punk?
I would love to hear some.
That's Yodel and Punk. And then the snowboard music is around that. One of the snowboard songs go like, punk in the snow, everywhere you go, they're punk in the snow. Rolling it over on a shotgun roll, everywhere you go, they're punk in the snow. People in Chicago, up in the daily, bop in the daily, bop. People in Chicago, are you ready up in the daily, bop in the daily, bop. People in Boston, are you ready up in the daily, bop. People in New York City, are you ready up in the daily, bop in the daily, bop. Like I did the punk, like I did the bop, bop in the daily, yeah, punk in the snow. That's one of my snowboard songs.
Are you a snowboarder, Bob?
No, I just love this. I got this idea. Originally, I wrote the music around skiing. Then the snowboarding came along. I created the whole new music around snowboarding. It's completely different from anything out there today. And somebody told me this could be the biggest thing since the surfing music of the 70s or 60s. And I've got, you know, pretty good things, you know.
And, like, where have you played, Bob? Like, what kind of...
Where have I played? I'll tell you, it's a long story. For a long time, I had to give my music. My sister was sick. I had to take care of her. And I played in different clubs and stuff. I played in New York in different places. I just did a show a couple of weeks ago in Room 53, where I hope to get this music in with my band and a couple of other bands doing snowboard music. And it looks pretty exciting, and the guy really likes me there, and he thought I was terrific. What I did, my manager passed away. His name was Joe Franklin, and Joe got me on Jimmy Kimmel Show years back, and I was supposed to go back with Sean White, the snowboarder, but it never happened because the guy that the show got me on. And
not the Joe Franklin.
You know, you've heard of Joe Franklin?
The talk show host?
Yeah, that's the guy. He was 100,000 behind my music, yeah.
He was your manager?
Yeah, he acted like a manager for me, yeah.
And
he was the thing is, before he passed away, I was supposed to sign a major contract, and then he passed away, and I never got to go with the people I was supposed to go with.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
I would love to hear more of your music, Avalanche.
Great.
Bob.
Yeah. Want to hear some more?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Do you have like full band versions of these things, or are they just you?
No, I got a new band together now. We're going to start playing, start rehearsing next week. But the music I got now is on the AvalancheBob33.com. My Christmas song is on there, Jingle Bell Yodel, which WCBS FM played a couple of years back, and I have my other snowboard music on there. Yeah.
Now, when CBS FM played it, was it like a part of the news or like the music?
At that time, they were very open. They were playing everything. Broadway Bill Lee played my song. They loved it. He loved the song, and I got a lot of reaction. I went back to America as talent. I got on the show, and they ran out of time. So that's the story. I've got a lot of been close a lot of times, and a lot of things have gone wrong. You know.
Well, look, all you can do, Bob, is to just you hang in there. You do it, and you love the music, right? You love making the music,
right?
So you do it for the love of the music.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. When you get some recordings down, and you got something for me to play, drop me a line, and we'll check it out.
Okay, if you want to check out my website and give me a call, 718.
Okay, don't give your number. No, don't give your number over the show. Don't give your number over the air. Don't give your number.
If you want to contact me, it's avalanchebob33.com, and that's my website, avalanchebob33.com. My website is robert.cribby@yahoo.com.
Okay, so people can check you out, but they go to avalanchebob33.com.
That's where you find my music. And then my email address is robert.cribby@yahoo.com.
Okay, people can check it out. And Bob, I look forward to hearing some of your stuff.
Great. Okay, thanks a lot, man.
You have a great night.
You too, man. Keep rocking.
You too. You like the good stuff, mystery caller. I salute you.
Why, thank you.
And how about the Pet Shop Boys? Do you like them?
Actually, yeah. At least some of the collaboration they did with
Dusty Springfield. Right?
Yeah.
How about that one song when he's like, "When I look back upon my life." Remember that? "It's always with a sense of shame. I've always been the one to blame." That guy. He was a good dude.
Yeah. Tennant. Yes. That's the guy. The guy who was Doctor Who took his name.
Wait, the guy from Pet Shop Boys was Doctor Who? No.
No.
That'd be awesome. That's what I would do if I was running the Doctor Who franchise. You have both. Suddenly, the next Doctor, it's the Pet Shop Boys. He's like split in half.
Not?
Has there ever been a Doctor Who split in half? Dudio loves Doctor Who, and I refuse to talk about it with him. And he's always like mentioning to me, like, "Hey, what about the and he always wears a scarf, like the one guy. Remember that one guy wore the scarf? That one doctor?
Baker.
Yeah. Tom Baker.
Right.
Dudio has a scarf like that. And I refuse to talk about it.
But
what if all of a sudden out of the TARDIS came Neil Tennant and Chris Lowe? Right? Was that who the Pet Shop Boys were? Right?
Exactly. And that would be major camp, and it would sell.
That would be the greatest Doctor Who. Then I would be into Doctor Who. If suddenly they came out of the TARDIS and they were just like, "I could leave you if I tried. I could love you, say goodbye. And I could, and left to my own devices, I probably would." That'd be the best Doctor Who ever. I'm pitching that. How do we get that going?
Sold. We're sold. I might recommend you stay off Twitter.
Right? Got Andy Zax is saying he wants Soft Cell to be the... he wants them. Remember that one creep? Not Mark Almond. Remember the other guy's mustache? Howard Ball? That guy with that thin Bud Abbott mustache?
Yeah.
Ugh. Those guys seem like creeps.
No, we were
man.
Listening to, what was it?
They seemed like great. That seemed like top shelf preverts, those two dudes in Soft Cell.
Remember that song? Say Hello,
Sex
Wave
Dwarf.
Goodbye.
Remember that song, Sex Dwarf?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's troubling stuff. They had that one album where there's like, "I'm going down on the subway." Remember that?
Actually, I don't think I had that rotation.
You got to check that out. You like the good stuff, mystery caller. I like you.
Thank you, sir.
You have a great night.
I feel unburdened, and I thank you.
Good. Forget this bum who banned you from the Alphaville Twitter. Don't worry about it. You can move on. Onward and upward. Right?
Thank you, sir. You've been a lot of help.
Okay, good night.
I will. Bye.
I tell you. We got to figure this thing out to get the two Pet Shop Boys to replace the guy from the current Doctor Who, who everybody says it's a flop, that this guy's the Doctor. He was the guy, Malcolm Tucker. Nobody likes him. it would revive the whole Doctor Who franchise if all of a sudden he's like, I got to turn into and I got to go back in the TARDIS, right? And he goes back in. And then all of a sudden, Neil Tennant comes out. That'd be the coolest thing ever. It's like, I've got the brains, you've got the looks. Let's make lots of money. And they're fighting, right? I'm telling you, man. We got to make that happen. We got to fix the Doctor Who franchise. A lot of good Doctor Who's we could do. Telling you. We'll fix it. We'll fix. Don't worry, England. Tom's on his way. I'll fix the Doctor Who franchise. We'll right the ship. Or if all of Frankie Goes to Hollywood came out as Doctor Who, and we got like a shirt that they all wear, like one of those like 5-person shirts, and all their heads are sticking out. Nasher, Holly Johnson, Paul Rutherford. But no, Paul Rutherford. Yeah, which was the guy from the Ooh Yeah, that guy. We'll get them in. Yeah, Marky Smith would be a good Doctor Who. Maybe that's a topic we should do some week. Replace who should be the next Doctor Who. Who should be the final Doctor Who? Who, like, would end the franchise? Matt Berry would be a good Doctor Who. Well, I do like him just coming out as Doctor Who would be pretty amazing. Right, Mike? Mike doesn't know what he's talking. Mike goes, yeah. Yeah.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
We'll fix it. We'll fix it. We're coming for you, England. The best show will fix Doctor Who. In the meantime, let's go back to the bowling alley. Best show, you're on the air. Welcome to the bowling alley.
Good. I brought my soft pretzel and liquid cheese.
Good move. Good move. Do you think Ringo Starr would be a good Doctor Who? I don't think so.
No. I think there's one doctor who kind of looks like Rowan Atkinson, and I think it would have been better if it was just Rowan Atkinson.
I like that one pervert Doctor who like everyone hates. There's this one Doctor who wore like rainbow clothes, and he's everyone's least favorite Doctor Who. He's like the Jimmy Savile Doctor Who. And, he's my favorite. Is he the sixth Doctor? Studio? He's number six. Ringo Starr is Doctor Who. An important message. I will no longer be fighting Daleks as of October 20th. Do not send any more Daleks. Two, I will not fight them. Peace and love.
Peace and love, peace and love.
Yeah. Peace and love, peace and love. I will not be fighting any more Daleks or... What are some other Doctor Who monsters? Swamp monster, right? What is swamp monsters?
Robot men.
What are the ones? I will not be fighting any more mannequins that come to life. Because this Doctor Who, look, I know more about this than I let on. First Doctor, by all rights, Doctor Who should have gone under with that first Doctor. It's like a 70-year-old grouch as the first. That should have been just canceled right away. This guy's terrible. Right? Then
yeah,
they go
just
get
like
this,
hanging out with his granddaughter.
Yeah, then they go get this guy who looks like he's got like he looks like if John Hamm was melting. He's like the second Doctor Who. Then they go get this weird guy who's like a silver-haired James Bond. He's driving like a sports car all over the place because Doctor Who got locked on a military base. And there was like some guy, I cannot give you the keys to the TARDIS. Then they go get Scarfs, whatever his name is. What was his name? Tom Baker. He shows up. Then they get the guy they get like some clean cut. He looks like a Richard Chamberlain type. Then they get the pervert Doctor Who, the one in the rainbow suspenders. Right? Am I tracking this right? Dudio? They got like a Richard Chamberlain type dude. And then they got the pervert. Then I think, then they tried to get, wasn't there like a, who was next? What if Ricky Gervais was Doctor Who? How about Ricky Gervais as Doctor Who? Would that end the franchise?
Well, it's talk a lot more about God. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I took the TARDIS into the thing. There's no God. Okay. Doctor Who. Thank you. He figures out. It's all fairy tale. Doctor Who's bumming everybody out. Somebody in the chat said Andrew Dice Clay is Doctor Who. That'd be pretty amazing. Right?
Would his wife be his companion?
Just picture the TARDIS. Yeah, that'd be great. Picture this. The Pet Shop Boys were Doctor Who. They go back on the thing. Back in the TARDIS. And then he regenerates. Isn't there only like one regeneration left for this guy too? How
are they
going
to
keep that going? Huh. I guess they're boxed in. There's no way of cheating the rules on that. Yeah, no franchise has ever just rewritten everything to make it happen again. And all of a sudden, out of the mist, the TARDIS doors fly open. Who's the next Doctor Who? And all of a sudden, you see this leather jacket, and it says Dice on the back. And he comes out, and he goes. He's like, look, this trip in the TARDIS could take 10 minutes, or it could take an hour. Back! Get it? And then his assistant would be like the wife. She'd be like, I thought we could go fight the Cybermen. Half hour power, you're on the air.
Tom.
Oh.
We are anonymous.
Good Lord. Okay.
We do not forgive.
Okay.
We do not forget.
Okay, that's fine.
Tom.
Yes?
Your day of reckoning has arrived.
Who's this? This is anonymous?
Document.
I'm pro-anonymous. You kidding me?
Today, our group has received select documents revealing your participation in the Narconon Rehabilitation Program in 1991 in Trenton, New Jersey.
The Narconon.
Do you remember that?
Was I part of the Narconon thing? What did I do?
Indeed you were, sir.
Tell me what I did with
Narconon. You were a patient.
What's that?
Apparently you had it. You were a patient.
In the Narconon program.
Indeed.
Okay, what happened
apparently,
to me?
Well, it claims these documents that
yes.
They claim that you were treated and that you became a very sincere and docile servant to the church, and that you were in need of serious help due to your extreme addictions to a panoply of substances which shall not be revealed unless you request them to be revealed.
Please reveal them. I'm all for this.
Yeah. We're going to hit a dead end soon.
Well, we have heroin.
Uh-huh. Okay.
PCP.
Okay.
Ayahuasca.
Okay.
Uppers.
I was ahead of the curve with the ayahuasca.
Yeah,
there
I don't even know what that is.
Huh?
I thought I was up to speed. What is that? Ayahuasca.
Mike, I just took it. I don't know what I was doing.
Uppers.
Okay.
Downers.
Yeah.
Middles.
Middles.
In-betweens.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, next time you're going to do your anonymous character, you might want to click back on the, I'd picture anonymous to not exactly stammer like that. Goodbye. I'm being told.
That I got to wrap it up?
No, no. Thanks for coming by. We got, I'm going to go here.
That Tony Danza's on the line?
Tony Danza's not on the line. Sir, who is on the line right now?
I'm Charlie Morgan.
Charlie Morgan. Now, you, sir, you called a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
You are the son of the actor Harry Morgan.
This is true.
And you called over, it was a unique circumstance that brought you to the show. Mike.
Well, I understood that there was some discussion about whether Thomas Pynchon appeared in Inherent Vice.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Anderson, the director, writer, and everything else, had told me that there was some confusion about whether I was actually the part I played, which was a bit deal where I'm there's a nervous girl who's got the shakes and she's trying to pour soup into my bowl, and I have a line that's not connected to what you see on the screen where I say, if you know what's good for you, please serve the soup. Anyway, so I knew, and also because I had discussed it with Paul Anderson, that Thomas Pynchon wasn't in the movie, but also, as he told me, there were people who thought that I was him.
Now, you're sure that Thomas Pynchon, you're sure he was not in Inherent Vice?
All I can say is, I hope I'm not speaking out of school, but the director, Paul Anderson, told me that he was not, and that people were confused thinking that I was him.
I have to say, maybe he had to run interference on that.
You never know, but I think he would. I don't think he'd go out of his way to tell me that this was not the case if he was running interference.
I don't know. Now your filmography, sir. You might be batting a higher average than anyone who's ever acted in anything ever. In terms of success.
How do you figure that?
Here, because I see six things here on your actor filmography. Have you been in a lot more than this? Is this not representative?
No, that's the whole shebang.
Okay, so
the only time I really had a part was in an episode of The Sopranos.
Well, that's because look at this. You did one TV show, and it was The Sopranos.
Yes.
You've been in two Paul Thomas Anderson movies, The Master and Inherent Vice.
This is true.
Then you also did Wolf of Wall Street, so you were in a Martin Scorsese movie, right?
Yes.
And then you also did one other movie, which was Lincoln with Steven Spielberg. So you pretty much, outside of this thing, the Dysfunctional Book Club, which I'm not sure what that is, where you played Dr. Marlowe, you're five
for
six. I wasn't
sure what it was either.
Here, so you weren't sure what it was either. You want to get that struck from the thing, because otherwise you'd be batting 1,000. This is insane.
Well, it's been a lot of fun.
Sorry. That is really an impressive lineup. How does that happen?
You're here with, this is Paul Rudd, Mr. Morgan.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Morgan.
You guys can call me Charlie anytime. It's kind of awkward.
Okay, Charlie.
I'm old enough to be called Mr. Morgan. Mr. Morgan was my father, and he didn't like to be called Mr. Morgan.
He didn't. No. So, yeah, it is an impressive lineup.
Yeah, it's been fun. And, these are all very small little parts. But, for a long time I was an executive at Universal City Studios, and I saw a lot of what, and even through my dad growing up, I saw a lot of what went on if you were a spectator watching a scene being played. But what was fun in The Sopranos and the other things that are on that list was that I got to see how they were when you were inside the scene, and that's a whole different perspective and just a lot of fun.
Now you...
So I was hopeful that, that someone would pick up on me and I'd have an agent and I could go to tryouts and whatnot, which is what I did on The Sopranos, but it hasn't happened yet.
Did you used to hang out on the MASH set?
Yeah, I did. And at one point I took my son Spencer to the MASH set, and we have an adorable picture of him on my dad's shoulders while he's talking to Mike Farrell and Loretta Swit and it was just a very fun time for him, my dad, and for me and my son Spencer.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you? That's but you didn't really start acting then until later on.
No, I didn't. You know, really, I had a long career as a lawyer and as a studio exec, and then when I was kind of working on my own and doing a lot of pro bono work as a lawyer, I stumbled into a couple of situations where I was able to, you know, do my little bit of acting. And I studied acting kind of seriously for many years. I mean, I still study it. It increases your powers of observation. Mm-hmm. But as I say, there hasn't been a lot of career follow-through that I can't make a living off acting, which is a terrible shame, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, you're doing all right. You were running. What were you doing at the studio? You were an executive?
Yeah, I was actually the general counsel of the distribution wing and a very good run. And I was a member of the board of directors of a couple of Dutch companies that distributed Universal and Paramount Pictures overseas. So I used to go to board meetings in Amsterdam. And
what was your crowning achievement as an executive? What's your proudest moment?
Well, what I was really involved in for the last 8 or 10 years of my time at Universal was fighting piracy. Okay. And I made a name for myself in that. I was written up in the Wall Street Journal. I went around to places where there were people setting up factories and producing pirated cassettes, mm-hmm. when that was still the technology, and I closed a lot of them down. And that was a sense of achievement. What with that?
What if I told you where? Just as a frame of reference, if I was to report someone who I knew in New Jersey was selling movies in a Duane Reade parking lot. He's somebody who I'm not going to name names, but he's here in the studio with me tonight. It's not Paul Rudd. It's
I only hit CBS.
What would I do? Should I do a citizen's arrest on him? Should I smash his wares?
Well, I can't. I mean, really, what goes on is the Motion Picture Association of America, the MPAA. Mm-hmm. Is titularly in charge of that. I don't know if they still chase after guys selling cassettes in the back alleys. They're so much more worried about what goes on in the internet.
Sure, a guy like that who would sell a movie or do like a private screening of a thing at like a pub, like a guy like that is just looked at as just like garbage, right?
I think so. I mean, I'm not really part of it now, but I think the big money lost is on account of streaming videos that are pulled down in Southeast Asia.
So a guy just selling hard copies of things, you'd be like, this guy is just a piece of trash who's not even worth the effort. Let him rot.
Well, what you could do, and what the MPAA does, of course, is that you contact the FBI, which has exclusive jurisdiction over copyright matters.
All right, so it's an FBI
theoretically
matter.
They go after it.
Okay.
But that was part of the fun of trying to get prosecutors to do that. I had a case in Chicago where we nailed a guy that was, he had a real little factory going, mm-hmm. but he hired a lawyer and was resisting the government claim, and I had to testify against him as the representative of the copyright proprietor. And the lady who was acting as the prosecuting attorney, you know, a member of the Justice Department, kept running in and screaming, "You told me this case would settle. No, I have to try this. It's somebody stole somebody's video property. Everybody else in this office is worrying about interstate theft after armed robbery."
So that's
what happens when you try to get the FBI involved.
Sure.
I just don't know how responsible.
Okay. Well, I might just have this. You know what? I figure with this guy I know, and I'm not going to name his name because that'd be shame. I'm not going to shame him publicly, but he'll dig his own grave with guys like that always do that, right? That's like a thing like your father on Dragnet would have seen something like that. Guys, they take care of themselves, right? Were you on the set of Dragnet, Charlie Morgan?
Often. Yes, I was, and I was very close to Jack Webb.
How about that Dragnet 68? Were you around for that when they were, like, going after hippies?
Of course. That was a goofy film, but it was fun to be on the set.
How about when he was like, would you watch him do those monologues? What was, how, was he like a machine regurgitating those screeds
I'll tell you,
back?
It's funny how it worked, because my dad was blessed with a near photographic memory, and he never needed to look at scripts. I mean, he would look at them once the way some people would look at Time magazine, and he would have all of his lines down and all of everybody else's lines down.
Mm-hmm.
And Webb was different. He didn't have that kind of mind. And you know, he was a drinker. And it was difficult for him to spout out lines the next day. And what he developed was a means whereby the actor would look at a teleprompter, which mm-hmm. would give him the lines preceding and his own lines, and he would recite them. And he had a justification for this that made mm-hmm. some sense, which he said, the lines are always fresh because you've never seen them before. Mm-hmm. And it was awkward for my dad because he wanted to say, well, look, I can I can do this the way actors do. No, that way it wouldn't be fresh.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so that's how that was put together.
Sure.
So there were weeks that went by when my dad would never actually run into Jack Webb. He would just go in and read his lines to the teleprompter, and then Webb would read his lines, and then they'd edit them together.
I need a job.
It resulted in a product of whatever kind of quality you want to call it, but it was very economical and very timely. And
sure. That's the Fred McMurray model. Fred McMurray supposedly would go do My Three Sons. He'd knock out all the staircase scenes for like 10 episodes. Like, fine, I'll yell at Chip on the staircase.
We got the camera set up.
Yeah. I'll do this. Do that today. Then I'll yell at Ernie on the porch.
I'm going to go play golf by noon. You guys figure it out.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's funny.
Yeah. I would like you, sir, to keep calling regularly, because I figure we'll get little tidbits from you over the.
I love.
Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy calling. Yeah.
What's a good?
Is it Paul Rudd that's with you, the actor writer?
It is the actor writer. Paul Rudd is here. Yes.
Oh, that's great. Hi, Paul.
How you doing, Charlie?
Now
I'm just great. Thanks.
Now, Charlie, before I say goodnight, what's a good story about your dad? What's a good Harry Morgan story that nobody's heard? I need to get on HuffPo with this stuff. You know what I mean? I already got Paul here. I'm looking to get the we call it the banana split. It's when you get three scoops.
Well, I wouldn't call this a scoop, but I can tell you a sort of a cute story. When I was in law school, there was a police officer named Officer Roberts, was all I knew about him. And he had gotten my phone number, and he'd called me a number of times
mm-hmm.
and wanted to know how I was and what I was doing and did I still have the 57 Chevy. And I said, wait, I don't have a 57 Chevy. He said, well, that kind of talk. And then he would start saying, well, we need to really get together. And I said, well, do you wear a uniform? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I'm living here with a lonely widow in Westwood Village near the law school. And I don't want you to come to her home in a uniform to ask for me. And he said, well, why don't I come to the law school? And I said, well, that wouldn't be good either. I mean, you want to talk to me and you've been in a uniform? I'll tell you what I could do. There's a restaurant in Westwood Village, and he got really mad, and he said, no, I am not going to do that. I am going to come, and I'm going to interview you at the law school. So I didn't know what to do, and I thought it might be kind of BS, but then a lady from administration came trotting into the law review office, and she said, Charlie, there's an Officer Roberts that's calling asking for your class schedule. I went, oh, God. So I called my dad, who was on the set of Dragnet.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Dad, I don't know what to do. This man is going to come. And he goes, Charlie, what's going on? Is this you and some of your high school buddies? And I said, no, Dad, they're talking about stolen cars and pistols and pawn shops. And my dad goes, well, that's not your M.O. Let me see what I can do. Well, with him on the set was Tom Redden, the chief of police. So when Officer Roberts was compelled to call my parents and apologize profusely
mm-hmm.
to them rather than to me, he did make the one statement that kind of sealed the deal for me. He said, I would have known that he wasn't the right Charles Morgan because the one I'm looking for is black.
Oh, So, and you're not, you're white, right?
Yes, I am.
So that's why he got, okay, that makes sense. So that was the whole thing hinged on that.
Yeah, it saved me from an embarrassment, but I guess the more embarrassed party would have been Officer Roberts when he found out that the kid he was looking. Anyway, he did find that out because the chief of police managed to get in touch with him and tell him, you got the wrong guy.
Well, sir, and I'm going to call you Mr. Morgan, even though you asked me not to. I'm going to ask you to keep calling every
it's
few
all the
weeks.
Same, either way. Okay, I'll check in from time to time.
Yeah, please do. And I'm going to say goodnight to you, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, and goodnight to you and to Paul Rudd. I'm a fan of yours, Paul.
Thank you very much, Charlie. Same here. And
all right.
I look forward to listening to you on the radio soon.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Bye for now, guys.
Bye. There we go. Charlie Morgan. It's where it all goes down. You got some Ant-Man news. You got some
Harry Morgan stories.
Yeah. What? This is like Showbiz Central.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah. Half Hour Power, you're on the show.
Hi, this is Yonis from Columbia, Missouri.
Yonis?
Yes.
What's up, Yonis? You're here with Julie Klausner, AP Mike, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne.
Hi, everyone. I need to come up with a band name by Saturday.
Okay. What's your band sound like?
I'm not really sure. We cover...
Hey, you don't know what your own band sounds like?
What are you saying? What do you cover?
We cover a song by the Amps, Kim Deal's band, after the Between the Breeders, I guess.
The Amps. Like Tammy and the Amps?
I don't know. It's a Kim Deal band.
Okay, yeah.
It's basically the Breeders.
Okay. Well, what do you want to know? You want to name your band?
Yeah, I've got some ideas written down.
All right, get real fast. We'll all vote on the names. Well, on a scale, everybody will give like a 1 to 10 rating on this dude's band names. We can all just say round the horn.
I'm just going to say no.
Okay, you're just going to say no?
Yeah.
You're in cat judge
music?
Mode.
No, 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 no.
Okay.
What kind? It's like indie rock.
Indie all rock, right. Okay.
Number one is the Jardines.
No.
Pass.
No.
Okay. Cult Following.
No.
No. No. Nope.
The Pop Machines.
No.
No. No.
Drunk Yoga.
Oh!
What are you doing?
Drunk Yoga.
No.
Okay.
Drunk Yoga.
I'll say yes.
No.
Yeah. No. Really?
No,
I'm on the fence.
Out of all of them, that's the best one so far.
Don't call yourself Drunk Yoga.
What else?
Okay. I've got Super Trash.
It's probably
maybe,
taken.
Maybe.
It's probably taken.
I'm going to say that's probably taken.
Yeah, that's the best. That's
2015.
Not, it's not great. It's not great, but
best
it's
one
the
best one so far.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the Tweety Drops.
What?
It's too long.
What is it?
the Tweety
Drops.
What is that based on?
It's a Sanrio thing, like Hello Kitty.
Nope.
Bad.
All
right. Local advertisements.
Terrible. Worst one yet. Go back to Drunk Yoga.
Yeah. That was the second best. Still the second best.
King Shrimp.
Oh, come
no,
on, buddy.
God, no.
King Shrimp.
I mean, my favorite one was the Makeout Club, but that's been taken like a million times over.
Yeah, because it's better than any of the ones you said, and it's still not even very good.
You could well, be Makeout
there
Club
are a lot
too.
Of bands out there, and most good names are taken.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Challenges.
Big Challenges.
I've given up. I'm not.
Or Big Challengers.
Big Challengers sounds good.
Yeah. Still terrible. Big Challengers. What else?
I only have one more, and that is...
And it's the bottom. Now we're at the bottom of this list. Like,
exactly.
This is the one he thought of after Drunk Yoga. And Big Challenge and King Shrimp. What do you got?
Well, these are the top 10.
Okay, well, what is it?
Sonic Bloom.
Sonic Bloom.
That's a band that'll never go anywhere.
Sounds these are really the best names you could come up with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Not very creative, I guess.
What's your name?
My name is Jonas Weir.
Why can't that be the band name? That's a good. That's better than.
Yeah. Why don't you call your
band? It's not a solo.
Yeah, but
act.
Alice Cooper had a band called Alice Cooper before he was Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you just call yourself Jonas and the Dartboards or something like that? Just any kind of like Jonas and the Picture Frames. Just any kind of Jonas and the blank.
The Shoehorns.
Yeah, Jonas and the Shoehorns.
Just the Shoehorns, I think, is
or,
pretty
or
good.
Or the Shoehorns. Mike's got it.
Even Dartboards is good.
Yeah.
Do people even know what a Shoehorn is anymore?
The Shoehorns are probably taken as name.
But not Jonas and the Dartboards.
Yeah.
But not Jonas and the, yeah, correct. Yeah.
How about Foot Powder?
Oh.
Oh, God. Mike just meant in general. Mike just meant overall.
Oh, my God.
He just wanted your thoughts on Foot Powder. Call it.
What about Foot Powder?
That's one for the sound collage.
Yeah. Just you going, oh. What about Foot Powder? Oh. Well, what? Buddy, I don't know what to tell you.
I was hoping you would all have. There's a lot of great minds in the room. Well, someone might have a better idea.
You call yourself, Circus Peanuts.
Crotch Rot.
The Giblets. Like giblets, but with a heart.
Yeah. Yeah. The Gad Blitz, based on
the
Josh Gad.
The Gad Jot. The, yeah, something.
Bad a name for this
the
guy?
Chunks, the Chunks.
Oh,
were,
how about,
was the name we were throwing
Gad,
around?
Gad Company.
That would be a Bad Company cover band where everyone's dressed like Josh Gad.
Yeah, and acts and sings like him.
Four Josh Gads on stage. Gad Company. Yeah, that would be the greatest.
You guys should call yourself Gad Company.
Gad Company?
Yeah.
So that's the conclusion.
Pat, band name for this guy?
Church Mice. Tomato People? I don't know.
Yeah,
tomato
people.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. You're welcome.
Yeah. Bubblegum chewers.
The gaggers.
Oh, God!
All right.
My God! Stop the world. I want to get off.
I don't think these have been taken. I mean, I think they're original.
It's like you're pitching yourself for... it's like season two of the Jinx. Just like,
like you need a new Jinx.
Yeah, it's almost like you're like, I might be up Jinx. To something with these names. It's almost like, I'm throwing some pretty weird Lose. Stuff out here publicly. You might want to investigate further.
The Shoehorn Murderer.
Yeah, be like, some guy be like. He started talking about shoehorns and then
the foot powder,
and then they see. I think he has crossed, just like run through the computer. Has anybody been murdered at a shoe store? He'd be like, yeah, we found out these Payless. Four people have been murdered. Four Payless employees have been murdered in the last year in a pattern, in a circle around Bayonne. He wants us to notice him. The Jinx, too.
The Jinx, too.
Port of Call Bayonne. Right? The Jinx, too. Port of Call Bayonne. Nice. Well, buddy, I don't know what to tell you, Giannis.
Well, I think Bubblegum Chewers is my favorite that anyone threw out there. I don't know who said it, but...
I did.
Oh, you did?
No, yeah.
That's probably my favorite. I'll take that if it's not our...
It's all yours. It's all yours. Best show you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a confession.
What do we got? Let's hear it.
Well, when I was a teenager, I was addicted to
love.
What I would call like cute vandalism.
Cute vandalism.
Yeah,
this I got to hear.
I thought I was being cute. Well,
cute.
Like,
what did you improve things? You wrote funny little. What'd you write? Wes Anderson quotes on things. What did you do?
The pranks that we would play didn't really hurt anybody, mm-hmm. but they were like head scratchers, you know. So like one of the things that we did is there was a Montgomery Wards in our town. It's a rural area, Humboldt County, California. There was a Montgomery Wards which is like a department store, and it closed down. And when it closed down, they moved all of the mattresses. They had, you know, like almost, maybe not 100 mattresses in this fenced area behind the store. And so what me and my friends did, I had a minivan at the time. We called it the granny van. And we systematically, we mapped out where every hotel in town that had a pool that, you know, was just an open-air pool. And we would go around, we would go get a mattress, and then we would drive it to that pool, and we would drop it in the pool. Mm-hmm. And then we would go get another mattress, okay. We would take it to the next hotel, mm-hmm. and we would drop it in the pool.
Well, please tell me when the cute part of this vandalism starts, because this sounds horribly destructive and creepy. Where's the cute part?
It's not helpful.
Yeah, imagine you're the guy who has to now fish a 400-pound waterlogged mattress out of a pool.
Well, you don't.
Or you lose your job.
You don't think one of those guys was like, these kids.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, imagine the guy who threw his back out now when he's got to somehow try to figure out a way to get a mattress out of the bottom of a hotel pool.
Well, now you're making me completely reassess my life.
Cute. What part of this is cute?
What is going on?
This is worse than most.
Yeah.
Just because you drew a map up? Yeah, you know who else drew a map up? Leopold and Loeb drew a map up. Well, I don't know if they did, but they probably did. Was their thing cute?
I don't know. Did you ever do anything when you were a teen?
No, not like that.
No?
Throw mattresses into pools, hotel pools.
I mean, they were nice pools.
What's that?
The pools weren't, it's not like they were like nice. Yeah, you know, it was like the Motel 6.
Oh, okay. Well, then it is cute. You're right. It's cute when the guy who has to do maintenance at the Motel 6 now has to figure out, how do I get this mattress out of the pool that now weighs 400 pounds at the bottom of the pool?
Yeah, I don't actually know how they did it.
Yeah, you don't. Cute.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah. This is the worst. This is the worst confession I've ever heard on the show, because you don't even know it's bad. You think this was cute. You used the word cute.
Well, no one got hurt.
Yeah, except for the guy who threw his back out trying to get the mattress out.
You lift with your knees.
Or the person who got fired because they couldn't get a mattress out.
Yeah.
Yeah, cute. Well, yeah, no one got hurt. This is restitution on this one. You got to do some serious karmic reparation on this, because you did bad stuff, my friend.
Well, give me my punishment. Like, how do I make this right?
Are you anywhere near where you did these things?
I still live in roughly the same area.
Okay, yeah. Well, you should probably go to each one and apologize. Face the, how long ago were these done?
Probably 15 years ago.
15 years ago. You should probably have to walk through the entire town wearing a sandwich board saying what you did.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only reparation I can think of to even the score, so you can just be seen by the people as the creep you were back then. You threw mattresses into pools. That's terrible. And you didn't think that was bad at all. You didn't think there was anything bad about that. You thought it was cute.
No, I
some
I
germy think... mattress now. Now the pool is disgusting because it's got some germy mattress that was getting thrown out.
Yeah.
Cute.
Well, this is taking a turn.
No, it didn't. It took a turn toward justice. You were going through your life in this cloud of thinking it was cute.
I've been accused of that.
Yeah, well, you should go in the middle of your town and beat yourself with a whip. You should whip yourself.
A wet mattress.
You should strap a wet mattress to your back and have to walk from one end of town to the other while people throw stuff at you. That's the only thing I can. That would only begin to to turn the tide on this. While the owners of all the establishments throw stuff at you.
Let the punishment fit the crime.
Yeah, you won't, though. You won't, though. I know you won't. You won't do anything about it. You'll probably figure out a new way to do it. You'll probably be figuring out the way with the next Montgomery Ward you can get mattresses from.
I mean, Tom, when you were 17, did you do anything that was not...
Nope. Not like nothing like that. Nothing even in the same stratosphere as that. That's so demented what you and your friends did. The amount of destruction you caused.
Well, it was a confession.
You didn't think it was bad though, did you?
Not at the time. I certainly...
Do you now, though? Have you ever thought until now that it was bad? Have you ever thought about how bad it was until now?
I certainly wouldn't do it now.
Well, I would hope you wouldn't do it now. Is this the first time you've ever said, that it's ever crossed your mind now, wow, that was bad what I did? I never realized how bad it was.
Well, I think that just the mere fact that I would not do it now shows that, I mean, I have matured... somewhat, you know. I certainly wouldn't do it now for a myriad of reasons.
But you called it cute.
Well, I think that if I heard that a 17-year-old,
tell me what part was cute about that. Just please. I'm removing all judgment from this. Okay. Convince me that was cute.
Just because we thought we were so clever, when in fact I will, you know. It's a stupid thing to do, but you've never heard of that before. You're like, oh, okay, that's kids.
Kids what? Ruining businesses?
Kids do that sometimes.
Yeah, kids do that. Kids go to jail when they do stuff like that. You should have been in Wormwood Scrubs. You should have been in jail. You should have been arrested and convicted for that.
17?
Yeah. What?
You wouldn't
how
give
many,
me like
how many pools did you how many pools did you throw mattresses in?
I would guess 8 pools.
8. Oh.
I don't remember, but that's if I had to guess, you know.
You still
long,
love it.
How
you,
long that night was.
Somebody in the chat just said you're still proud of yourself with this. You still are. I can hear it in your voice. You're still proud you did this.
I called up a national radio show.
No, first of all, it's an international radio show. How dare you say it's national? This is worldwide, my friend. You heard the call from Australia earlier?
Mm-hmm.
We're world. Right now, the world knows that you're a pile of human garbage. Right now, the world knows that.
Well, that is my punishment.
No, that is not nearly your punishment. That is just an acknowledgement of your behavior. That is just you did bad, my friend, bad, because you called it cute. You called it cute. I can't wrap my head around that. You're demented.
No.
What would you suggest you could do to fix this? Karmically, if you needed to right this wrong, what would you do?
I don't know, take in a foster child and raise him upright.
No, so that's sarcastic. You wouldn't do that.
No, it's not. No, it is not. It is absolutely not.
What are you going to take in a foster child and raise him upright? What, teach him how to draw, figure out where all the motel pools are? That you're going to do? What do you do next? Start blowing up ice machines at Motel 6s?
We did not do that, no.
Well, you can teach your kid. Maybe your kid can burst out of the ice machine, right? Maybe the two of you can put human heads in ice machines.
That sounds grosser.
Cool. Look, you, my friend, are a demented mutant, and you have deep-seated problems, and I hope that you someday you see this and you'll just beg. You'll beg for forgiveness.
I'm open to your suggestions on how that can be accomplished. I'm not...
Okay. How much money do you make a year? Nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows who you are. You can just throw out a number. How much you make a year?
Over 30.
Over 30. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would donate $10,000 in cash to a charity within your community.
$10,000.
Or no, $8,000. $1,000 for each pool you'd throw a mattress in.
Okay.
Not that you have to do it all at once.
Okay. So over, I just have a debt, and I have to pay it off.
Yeah. Exactly. $1,000 for each mattress you threw into a pool, and you have to write a letter to your local paper and say what you did, and this is why you're doing the donating.
Okay. Well, if that does actually come to pass, I will send you.
See, you're already off the hook. You let yourself off. Yeah. Mattress man on the loose again. You did it again, mattress man. You're on the loose. The Kaiser Sose of Serta Perfect Sleepers.
Well,
what's your favorite? The President's Day. Is that when you get your jollies? President's Day. The mattresses are a little cheaper.
A little cheaper, yeah.
Right. That's when you're back out. Mattress man's on the loose. They got their new mattresses. You go looking for the old ones out by the curb, right?
And all the pools are freshly rechlorinated.
Yeah. Then it's mattress. Mattress man's back in business. This is what you should do. You should strap yourself to one of those mattresses and throw yourself in a pool.
Oh.
See how you like it. Oh, that's too far?
Well, I don't know. Would you do that?
No. Well, I didn't throw 8 mattresses into pools.
Okay. So, I mean, this seems like a steep punishment.
Wow. I told you. I already told you. The $8,000. $1,000 for each pool.
All right. Oof.
Oof. Oof.
Yeah.
Shame. Shame. You wear that shame on your head.
You wanted a good confession, right? I didn't want to come
This was a good one.
I didn't want to come in with something weak, you know?
No, you don't worry. This was not weak. This was not weak. You're like the BTK killer of mattresses.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, Mattress Manson, I'm going to call you. You and your buddies, it's like the mattress. You're like the Manson family, right?
Of mattresses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
That's it, the inaugural edition of Best Show, Best Calls. Now, if there are any calls that you didn't hear on this edition, let us know. Let us know if you'd like to hear those calls on future editions. Love to make this more interactive. Tweet at us at Best Show for Life. That's also our Instagram handle. And definitely check out thebestshow.net. Subscribe on iTunes. Write a review. Let everyone know that the Best Show is back. And we'll see you again on another edition of Best Show, Best Calls.